guest today is Renu. Thank you, Renu, for accepting our invitation.
Thank you. Thank you, Orville Radio.
So our first question is, are you in contact with your inner or psychic being? And how does it manifest, if so?
I don't think I could say I have a permanent contact with my psychic being. I would say rather that I've had moments where it's like a very deep recognition of something you've always known. So I would assume that's the psychic being. I'm not a, I'm not a realized being, so I cannot speak with great assurance of these things, but these moments I know are kind of very distinct, and the sensation is distinct because it's something that you know very, very well. It's something that you often feel as a child, so you know it. It's very familiar, and it's a very good feeling. So that's what I would assume is being in contact with one psychic being. Other than that, I think I have developed, it's kind of, it's like a sense of smell. Like you can smell when something is off, and you can smell when something is, it's not really from the mind, it's a kind of other feeling, and you can smell when something, there is an aspiration or something behind it. So, yeah, I count on that a lot.
Okay.
And maybe that's a result of that, I don't know.
And how does it manifest in your everyday life?
In my everyday life, I have to try, and whatever it is that I'm doing, I don't know that it's, I wouldn't say that that's the psychic being, but it's more like the path of karma yoga, where you every day try and offer whatever it is that you're doing, and not get too attached to any of the results, or when you're, you know, in really involved, to also say, okay, you know, I do what I can in this situation in face of injustice or things that I believe are incorrect or wrong. But in the end, it's trying to detach from the results, because, and it's also been like that in all of my jobs in Oroville. You just try and do the best that you can do with the best attitude that you can do. And if there's anything I would like to say, it's this, that I find, having grown up here, there was so little of Oroville on the material plane. So much of Oroville existed in the imaginary plane, and it was so powerful. And also what was so powerful was much more the psychological effort of what it means to be in Oroville, to try and let go either of possessions or of preconceived ideas, to be open to the adventure wherever it leads us, to be in tune with what's happening at the moment, and to be able to answer at the moment to the truth of that moment. So, and then so much, no, we also had all these teachers from the ashram, so there was so much about inner development and meditation, and, you know, every new building with the inauguration ceremony, it was all like we're building a new world and putting that sort of care and consciousness and love into matter, and that meant a lot to me. And I'm, you know, I suppose I'm a brainwashed kind of person because I grew up in that. So what I find painful, and that's not just in the situation today, it's just the more it's developed, the external part has developed, it seems the focus has very much been on all this external development, And that those intentions and the psychological effort seems less important than the external, and that sort of, it has to go together, otherwise it's just empty to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's what I feel a little bit also now. So much is on the external show, when actually this ground and these 55 years has been also so much of goodwill and consecration and love and enthusiasm, and that's huge. You know, the skyscrapers exist on that plane of all of this. And yeah, and so for me to be in that state, which I find to be more in tune and not so external with the I know and it has to be this, and it's all very, it's much more subtle in the sense of being at the entente, listening, you know, listening for what is, what needs to be, being attentive, having that attention to like what is needed, not I know, but what is needed, and then that effort everybody can participate in, and yeah, I mean, we can all be much nicer to each other for sure. You know, to allow for that space where people can, you know, what I like is that nobody knows what Auroville is, but what I like is that we can all work together imagining it, and each person has a space to express that, and I think that's so beautiful. So I find it very reducing the potential and the imagination and the challenge of what Auroville is. It's the thing of like being attentive together. So I think I've felt it like that. I mean, you know, there have been times in Auroville also in the earlier times when there were difficulties. I don't think everything was very wonderful, but there were wonderful moments. There was a lot of humor. And there were really moments, and I wouldn't say that so much psychic as maybe vital, maybe. But it was like the sense of being a little bit of a body, of like, hey, let's do this, and other people hearing, yeah, that sounds like the right thing. Okay, let's go do it. And we just went and did it. You know, not so much up in the mind. Not that, you know, it's one or the other. The mind is also very necessary. But sometimes I feel like we've lost a little bit of just that enthusiasm, that, you know, spontaneity.
Mm.
You know? Mm. I think it's good to be spontaneous. I think it's good to be... Your mother's kept talking about flexibility. There are things that mother often talked about that I didn't used to understand. Especially in the context of Auroville. She didn't really want all these specialists or things like that, in the sense that, I mean, not that she didn't want them, that's incorrect. But it was really the intention and the aspiration of the person and what they wanted that was so important. And I think that's true today.
Mm.
I think it's, yeah.
And do you feel, did you develop any particular abilities thanks to your inner contact?
Well, like I said, this kind of sense of smell.
Mm.
It's a kind of smell, it's kind of like... it's funny because I see that everything that is manifested with a kind of... ambition often gets a twist in it. You know, there's ambition to finish, ambition to look like something. You know, this ambitious external thing, then it starts twisting from the inside. So that's something I'm beginning to notice. I was like, oh, so there's something about that. That's why I like that innocence of like admitting that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can figure it out together and go like, okay, I see this, I see that. You know, doesn't mean that everybody has to be agreeing all together on one thing, but we can, and that's what's happened much of the way Auroville has developed, has been every person really trying to develop whatever it is that they're doing in their area for the whole. Maybe sometimes people have forgotten the whole. I remember when I was working in the town planning, and many people would come with projects, and it was like they were reinventing Auroville in Auroville. And I was like, but Auroville already exists. Why don't you look at the whole of Auroville and see what's missing? What do we need now? You know, not like, oh, I want to do this and it's going to be my... It's like, again, little Auroville inside of Auroville. Everybody wanted to be in control, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interesting to notice that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great idea, Auroville's a great idea. But you see, ideas like this are only as great as the what they inspire in people. So you have to really save that, you know, the bank here is goodwill.
Mm.
Nothing else. That's what you have to protect.
Mm.
And that's what, if we work on a new Auroville organization, I would really put that as the top thing. It's like, this Auroville is meant for goodwill, for people of goodwill. You know, those are a few of the things that Mother said. It was like, you know, she talks about sincerity, and I was like, wow, sincerity, it means not being dishonest. What is sincere? And then you understand it. Like, sincere means that you're sincere with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you can also see it takes a lot of courage, and it's very painful to see also how much the ego is involved in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And not keep thinking all your ideas are divine ideas or this or that, you know. It takes a lot of courage, and it's not easy to do because you see yourself in a light that maybe you don't like. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a little bit of sincerity helps to do that. It's a bit like a cleaning lens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helpful. And so when Mother talks about, I want sincere people, I'm like, oh. You know, oh yeah, I see, yeah, it's true, it is important.
Mm.
It's not like you have to be, you know, specialist in this and that. That drive is important because that carries the whole atmosphere and the whole vibration. You have a whole army of sincere people. That's incredible.
Mm.
So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Mm.
Other than that, superpowers. No, I mean, I have had my own moments. I think it's, you know, I've had my own, I don't know what you want to call them. But in these moments, I really have seen, it's not at all like how people imagine, you know, even spirituality, people think, it's people talking very calmly and dressed in white and all. This has nothing to do with spirituality. Nothing. It's a common form that, you know, people are accustomed to see either from Christianity or from ashrams or like that. But that's not... It has nothing to do with being... That's like a moral virtue thing. It has nothing to do with spirituality at all. At all. In fact, it's often very strange and very violent and very whatever, you know, these birthings, because it's exactly that. It's bringing out so much, you know. And if you read the life of Ramakrishna, then you're like, wow, you know, any normal society would have put him in an insane asylum, you know. So these are the things that India has and that India knows. Only India has words for all of these different states of being and psychological states. Only India understands that since, you know, thousands of years. So that's wonderful about India.
And are there any significant events or moments or situations that you have experienced in relation with this inner communication?
Well, there are a few instances. The inauguration of Auroville is very marked. I don't know if that's my psychic being or not, but the inauguration was really magical for me, and I still remember it just very, very clearly, vividly.
Can you tell us about it?
Well, I mean, we used to be coming up to Auroville before the inauguration. So there wasn't any roads or anything like that. And then the amphitheater was getting prepared, and the inauguration ceremony was there, and they had this big cement flat circles under the banyan tree, and the models were put there, and it was just you know my whole growing up, this, you know, plans and drawings and rosewood models and messages from mother and people running around and new education, all of this was going on. So it was always very exciting somehow. You, even as a child, you're growing up and all this is happening, you know, you're waiting on the staircase to go to mother's room, and you know, Roger's running up and down with his rolls of plans and everything, you know. So it was a kind of the whole buzz of Auroville, so it was always exciting. And you're like, okay, we're gonna build, you know, in your kid's mind, like, okay, we're gonna build Auroville, whatever that means, you know, a whole, you know, when you say a new city, a new place, a new, you know, it's just like, okay. And then you came here and it was just like goats and and peanut fields, one or two, and super poor, you know. So you're like, huh, okay. And then this inauguration, and suddenly everybody was there, and it was really beautiful. And, you know, the sand was being carried, and everybody's flags, and walking down, and then this huge balloon up, pale blue balloon, up in the, which was really enormous. That really marked me also. And then they let it go, you know, it was big. You know, and people from all over coming, and all the villagers also, they were there, and we were all watching. And so that was that was something that stayed. There was another time, I remember I was walking, and I think that's why I'm so disturbed about this Oro Orchard exchange, because I remember I was walking in front of Oro Orchard to the main road. I mean, there was a kind of structure, and then there was a signboard that said ECC, was an engineering company that was going to build Auroville. It was like a yellow sign, which I always thought was strange. Anyway, I was walking in front of Oro Orchard. I remember going 1970. It was 1970, so I was 6 years old. And I remember just going, wow, this is Auroville, you know, like it was so exciting to me, just like walking on this empty road with these palm trees. And so I'm pretty attached to those memories. And similarly, like, you know, I just feel like every bit of land that was bought and donated, you know, people donated money for this Auroville. Like, I always felt like every bit of land was like, it's like under mother's protection now. It won't be land that will be exploited. It won't be, you know, now you are a land that belongs to nobody in particular. Hooray, you know. And then there was this whole work of healing it, because our whole life, as somebody rightly said, exists because of 6 inches of topsoil. If you don't have that topsoil, you don't have life. Mm-hmm. So this huge, we understood that very early, because sandstorms in the summer, and in the winter all the ocean was red, and so like, okay, we need to save this topsoil, or there's nothing happening here. And so huge amount of energy, and then watching that take a long time before it answered the call, you know, and the goats and protecting each tree and watering it with a bullock cart in the summer. So, you know, it was like this huge thing, and then suddenly things started saying, thriving and coming. But it took a while before trees agreed to grow. It took a long time. And then, you know, watching different species come and all. So for me, all of this has been exciting. You know, and it's just very strange that that's not a value that is a commonly shared value anymore. It's like bizarre to me. Anyway, so you asked about moments. So that's one moment. The walking in front of hope was a moment. For no reason at all, I was sitting at home doing nothing, and I suddenly was like, oh, I just saw something about, I don't know, I just experienced myself in a completely different way, and it was quite nice. And so I was like, oh, and I hadn't seen that. And then I've had other experiences. I've had here or there some experiences. I don't know how to say how they manifest. They manifest in different ways. You know, I don't know whether these are like memories or... No, they're actually a sensation. Yeah. I don't know how... what else could I say?
And do you feel there are any traps in that inner quest for you? No,
there are no traps. There are only... no, because there's no ambition about it. It's more of a giving space and removing and looking in and just going inside. So there's no trap, and like being focused more in the heart. So it's,
Okay. Is there anything that you would like to add? That seems important to you to say?
No, I mean, I've had a few dreams that meant a lot to me, that were very kind of... revelatory dreams, you know, kind of dreams that you always remember. So... those stay with me. I feel very lucky. I feel very privileged, you know. And, you know, something, what I know and remember of Mother, is she really cared. She really, really cared about you. And I think that's really important. I think that's a quality. And that's always a quality that I would like in the administration in Oroville also, is like you have to care. It doesn't mean you have to put up with all nonsense. You have to care about people. And if you were in an administration, it's very important to try and emulate the qualities that Mother had or would have liked to see. I think that's super important. So for me, that's really important. And other than that, I had a dream where I was in front of Sri Aurobindo. I kind of nearly ran into him because I was late for something. And I was a little shocked because it was him. And he looked at me and he saw everything inside of me, even the parts that I would not like to show. You know, and the way it visualized it is there was like my heart, and there's a small area on one side that was a bit black, you know, and I was like, ah. And he didn't care at all, but he saw it. And it was very relieving that somebody sees everything and just sees. That's it. And then another experience was when my Indian father passed away. He came to me in a dream and he didn't know how to get out. And I was like, oh, this is easy. Like, you know, he's trying to get out of his feet. And I said, no, that's all wrong. And I showed him. And as I showed him in my dream how to get out, I got out in my dream. And I was, for a few seconds, in an indescribable feeling of peace and well-being. And that I'll never forget. And I woke up and I remembered it. And I was like, oh, I've been there. And it's also a place we all know. Nothing is unfamiliar. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this testimonial. If you would like to take part in this project on the inner being, or if you have any questions or comments for our team or participants, please feel free to contact us using the email at the bottom of this webpage.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.